to be with you here today. And the saints are precious people, and it's a pleasure to be around God's people.
Yes, it is. Wonderful.
I had a scripture I'd like to start it with this morning in Ecclesiastes, the 5th chapter and the 9th verse. Ecclesiastes 5, verse 9, said, "Moreover, the profit of the earth is for all. The king himself is served by the field. He that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver, nor he that loveth abundance with increase. This is also vanity. When goods increase, they are increased that eat them. And what good is there to the owners thereof, saving the beholding of them with their eyes? The sleep of a laboring man is sweet, whether he eat little or much. But the abundance of the rich will not suffer him to sleep. There is a sore evil which I have seen under the sun, namely riches kept for the owners thereof to their hurt. But those riches perish by evil travail, and he begetteth the son, and there is nothing in his hand. As he came forth of his mother's womb, naked shall he return to go as he came, and shall take nothing of his hand, of his labor, which he may carry away in his hand. This also is a sore evil, that in all points as he came, so shall he go. And what profit hath he that hath labored for the wind?" Thinking about these verses and the time that we live in, we live in a prosperous time, a prosperous age. And I feel like we have to be careful not to set our affections on things here, earthly things. There's something about us as humans, we tend to gravitate towards things that we can see with our eyes, feel with our hands, touch. It seems like we're drawn to things. And we live in such a material age, and in our day and time, a man's success is gauged many times by his bank account and by the things that he possesses. But that's not how the Lord gauges a man. That's not how the Lord gauges success. It said, "As he came forth of his mother's womb, naked shall he return to go as he came, and shall take nothing of his labor, which he may carry away in his hand." You know, we're not taking anything with us, are we? And yet, we sometimes get consumed by the material, the cares of life, the deceitfulness of riches. Many times choke out what God wants to do with us in our hearts and our lives. And I feel very challenged this morning to seek the Lord and to be content with what the Lord's blessed me with and not continue to more and more. Because it says here that he said that he that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver. You know, there's no end to it. It seemed like inventions of mankind increase. They just keep on. It seems like there's always the latest thing, the newest thing out on the market. And it just seems like the devil has a treadmill that he likes to get people on, just racing towards going. And it consumes their affections and their time and their energies. But we can't take any of it with us. We're going to leave it all here. And he said, what profit is there that hath labored for the wind? We don't want to labor for the wind today. We don't want all of our energies being spent just on what I can see with my eyes, what I can feel with my hands. And that's what he said here. He said, what profit is it really, except for being able to see it with your eyes? It just brings maybe a temporary enjoyment or satisfaction, but it soon passes. And it gets old. You know, you buy a brand new car off the lot and it smells nice and the seats are plush and everything works and it's so nice. But what happens to it? Pretty soon, the months roll by and the miles begin to accumulate. The tires go bald and things begin to happen to it. It begins to break down. And that's the way it is with every earthly thing. It goes back to the dust from whence it comes. Lord, help us today to recognize there's more to life than just the material,
yes,
the material side of it. I'm so challenged when I think of the Lord's life, like the Lord Jesus lived His life. He wasn't too interested in earthly possessions or earthly things. He was more concerned about the spiritual. He was more concerned about being a blessing and a help to mankind and to humanity. And He gave His life that way. Lord, help us today to pull our hearts. You know, there's something about the human heart that things can begin to slip in and begin to take hold of our affections almost without trying, it seems like. Almost without seeming like purposely setting our affections in a certain area. It just seems like if we're not careful, our heart begins to become attached to earthly things. And we're going to all leave it behind. We were visiting yesterday a little bit, Brother Rod's house, and we were talking about how our discussion was about how death sometimes can change our perspective on life. When we come to the point where we're leaving this life, many times our perspective can change of what we thought was really important and what was really important in life. I remember hearing one time someone mentioned about a man in his boat. Had a boat. We know there's nothing wrong with the boat. I mean, it's what you'd consider a lawful thing. It's not just sin. But he liked his boat. He polished his boat. He kept his boat in tune. Wonderful fishing boat. And really enjoyed it. And I'm not saying there's things that we can't enjoy in life. But when he came down to his time being limited on this earth, that boat that held so much attention and held so much, took so much time, pretty soon, real quick, it lost its glamour and it lost its attraction. And he told his family, just get rid of it, sell it. We need that eternal perspective now.
Yes,
we want that eternal vision, that spiritual desire, the way God sees things. We want that in our lives now. We want to be able to have our eyes open to be able to see what the Lord sees and the things that are important to Him and to be able to follow in His thoughts. I want to get another text now in Luke, the 16th chapter, and it's a familiar one that we've heard. The Gospel of Luke, the 16th chapter, we have an account of a rich man. that Jesus mentioned. Luke 16 and 19. He said, "There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen, fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate, full of sores, and desired to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom." We'll stop there. We remember how he was told that he said, in your lifetime you received your good things, and Lazarus received evil things. But I got a thought out of this that I want us to think about this morning and ponder. Lazarus was laid at this man's gate. And the scripture really doesn't tell us why the rich man didn't extend help to Lazarus. This man that was full of sores, laid at his gate, probably a beggar. I'm sure the rich man saw him. I'm sure he recognized that he was there at his gate. But I'm wondering if the comforts that the rich man had caused him to really fail to relate to the suffering of his humanity that was there at his gate. Would it be possible that him faring sumptuously every day, good meals, plenty of clothes, I believe it said he was clothed in purple, fared sumptuously every day, and yet Lazarus laid at his gate. I feel like the comforts of this life, the richness of this life, the prosperity of this life can cause us to not sense and recognize the needs that are around about us. You know, there are people that are at our gates. Every one of us has a life, and every one of us, I believe God allows people to be at our gates. Perhaps the rich man was so preoccupied with his cares, his responsibilities, that he failed to really sense the need of Lazarus, of the man that he passed by, that he recognized that was laid at his gate. Perhaps the cares of life kept him so busy, so on the go, that he forgot about what was really important in life. You know, Jesus brings out a similar illustration when talked about the Good Samaritan, the man that fell among thieves. It said that the priest and the Levite that came by and they saw the man, they went on their way. Lord, help us today to have a desire, a burden, a concern. Do you ever struggle with having and continuing in a burden for souls, for the lost? I do. And I feel like it's part of the time that you and I are living in. It's hard to get under a real burden where you weep
before the throne of grace in behalf of souls. Many times people in our day and age don't have the time to say much of a prayer. But to really tarry before God in earnest. Lord, help us today to be able to minister to those. Mm-hmm. You know, we may not feel like we're very rich here this morning, wealthy as far as financial means go. But in a sense, you and I this morning have been entrusted with the gospel of Christ. Some of us were raised in Christians' homes, memorizing memory verses and singing those songs from a youth. We've been to a lot of camp meetings. We've heard a lot of messages. And there's a great need at our gates today. And the Lord is looking for someone to be able to stop, set aside time, the cares of life, and to have a real concern and care for the souls that are around about us. Is there anything more valuable this morning than the soul of man? I don't believe there is this morning. I don't believe there's anything more valuable than the soul of mankind that will live on forever somewhere in eternity. People are headed to eternity today. Life is taking us towards eternity. Help us today to be able to recognize those spiritual needs that are around about us. The aching hearts, the bruised lives. You and I have been invested with so much. The gospel of Christ. Sunday school lesson this morning talked about Moses, didn't it? When you read that discourse, you read a few verses earlier, Moses made some excuses, didn't he? He felt like God had the wrong person. He didn't feel capable within himself. You know, I'm coming more and more to the knowledge that the Lord wants us to feel that way. He wants us to feel insufficient within ourselves. He wants us to feel like we don't have the answers within ourselves, but that we know one that does.
Yes, amen.
And then we can point them to one who does have the answers to life's perplexities this morning. I've made excuses before in my life, and I suppose probably you have too if you live very long. Lord, help us not to hide behind those excuses. Help us to recognize and sense the lateness of the hour, the urgency.
Yes.
It seems like the church has thrived and grown under tribulation, under difficulties, under persecution. The church has grown and thrived. But under prosperity, the church historically has become weak and inefficient. And there's a reason for it. It's not because God is not the same. And it's not because God is not able. It's because many times we get preoccupied with the earthly. And we fail to follow through with
and have an eye for the spiritual. I remember an occasion years ago when we lived at Guthrie. I went by to encourage an older brother that was in affliction. And I'll never forget the experience. I feel like God spoke to me through that encounter and gave me a message that I needed. But I made comment, I said, "Aren't you glad that you've lived for the Lord all these years? Now that it looks like," and I didn't say now it looks like you're facing eternity. I didn't say that. I just said, "Aren't you glad that you lived for the Lord all these years? You're in affliction here, and it looked like it was a life-threatening affliction." But he looked me in the eye and he said, "Brother Bob, the Lord has showed me that I've been a wicked and a slothful servant." And he went on to relate different times the Lord had put a burden on his heart, given him a job to do. And he said, "I didn't do it. I didn't follow through with it." Looking on the surface, I thought everything was okay. I mean, he was faithful man from all observations. But he felt the call of God upon his heart. And he didn't yield. He didn't follow that path. He didn't humble himself and submit and obey that. And as he was facing death, and he did, he passed. But he said, "If the Lord raises me up, the Lord heals me, I've got work to do." The Lord didn't see fit. I believe he said, "The Lord's forgiven me." I believe the Lord forgave him. But the Lord had other plans for him. He had something more that he wanted his life to accomplish. To be a blessing and a help to others. That's a challenge to me this morning. To be sensitive to the Spirit of the Lord.
Yes, help us, Lord.
To not hide behind our human reasonings. Not hide behind our own selfish excuses. But to have that eternal perspective now. You know, life is going by pretty quick, isn't it? It's going by quick. We don't have years to waste. We don't have time to waste. Another place it said, I believe it said, "Teach me to number my days or my years, that I may apply my heart unto wisdom." Our time, Jesus sensed that. He said, "I must work while it is day. The night comes when no man can work." That's death, isn't it? When our night comes, when no man... And Jesus felt a sense of urgency to finish what his Father gave him to do while he had life. Lord, help us this morning to be able to have that eternal perspective in our hearts and our lives now.
Amen.
Help us to live that way. Help us to have that burden and that desire. Jesus, another place, he said, "Say ye not, there are 4 months, then cometh harvest." But he said, "I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white, already to harvest." That means to me the Lord doesn't want us to procrastinate. He doesn't want our lives to be aimless. He doesn't want it to be spent on the wind.
He wants our lives to have a focus and a purpose. We've got to give Him that room, that space. We've got to be willing. The Lord doesn't take it from us. He doesn't force us. We've got to offer it up to Him.
There's another scripture I wanted to get in Philippians, the 3rd chapter and the 7th verse. It's been a real challenge. It says in Philippians 3:7, what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, do count them but done, that I may win Christ. And be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death. Those words challenge me this morning. Did they you? The fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after it, that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth into those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Lord, help us today to be willing to suffer some losses. You know, it's not inhuman, and I'm speaking in myself. Growing up, I was always competitive. Never liked to lose. I was in sports, and I don't guess anybody likes to lose, do they? Lord, teach us how to lose for Christ. You know, when we learn how to lose, how to be a good loser, we learn how to live. And we actually win in the long run. You know, it's a totally opposite. This spiritual life is totally opposite from the way the world is geared. The world is geared to obtain, to gain, push down, whatever it takes to get your way, lying, whatever you have to do to make it happen. The way of Christ is so contrary. Lord, help us today to be willing. Help us offer the Lord a willing heart this morning. There are people at your gate that I probably won't be around and won't touch, that you see many times over, laying at your gate with needs. Lord, help us to stop and take time and to say yes, Lord. That's the greatest lie. Brother Austus used to recite that little poem. Only one life, 'twill soon be past. That's the truth, isn't it?
Only what's done for God will last.
Only what's done for Christ will last. Life goes by so quick. And I, maybe because I'm getting a little older, maybe I feel a little more urgency. I don't know what it is, but I feel an urgency in my heart. We have unsaved loved ones. We have unsaved people that we know, that we work around. They're full of sores, full of needs. Lord, help us to extend that hand.
Yes, amen.
Help us to carry that burden. Help us to take that time. I've often thought that maybe one of the greatest blessings of heaven, I don't know what heaven's going to be like altogether, but to have one soul in a bright, white, shiny garment come up and say, thank you.
Amen.
Thank you for taking time for me. Thank you for caring. Thank you for speaking that word that was difficult for you to speak. Thank you. Won't it be worth it? Oh, if just one, it'd be worth it all.
Yes, it would.
Let's have an eternal perspective this morning about the things of the Lord, what God's given us. Because you and I have been blessed with so much. In another place it said, to whom much is given, much is required. Lord, help us today to not be so caught in the world and trapped and snared. Jesus talked about the cares of life, the deceitfulness of riches. And I wanted to mention that too, about that one scripture in Ecclesiastes that talks there's no satisfaction. Material things are deceitful. Can be very deceitful to us. So I believe they can keep us from really having compassion and feeling what other people feel. Help us today, Lord, to be faithful to you.
Amen. Amen.